Without a radio, radio waves go unnoticed. How many of you have been noticing the radio waves coming through, the FM frequency radio waves just coming through this building? They are constant. They're nonstop. You don't notice them. Why? Because you need the equipment. Without a radio, radio waves go unnoticed. Just goes on and on and on without bothering anything or anybody. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is unnoticed by the unsaved who have no spiritual life in them.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit as our study of John continues in chapter 14, verse 15. Here's Pastor Bob.
If you love me, keep my commandments. That's an easy verse to memorize. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the question is asked very often, how can we, as followers of Jesus Christ, actually show him that we love him? How do you do that? You can't get him a new pair of shoes. His are fine. How can we show our love for him? Jesus just told us right in this verse, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we show him, and that's how the world sees it also. Obedience. Whether you're a believer or a non-believer, a lot of believers believe this, and a lot of non-believers think this. Some really believe that it's by tears. So they cry a lot. They come to church and they spend their time wailing because they know they don't add up or measure up. And so they're just wailing and crying. And so some people think it's through lots of tears and that shows Jesus, I love him. Some people do that and that's what they're taught. If you really love the Lord, you have to cry at least two or three times during a worship service. You have to. But that's not it, everybody. It's not by tears. It's not by long prayers. Oh, can people, man, you've been around some people that can really pray it, can't they? And pretty soon you're trying to keep up with them and they're still going and you're thinking, no, on the way home, I'm supposed to pick up toothpaste. Now we're in a prayer meeting, you know, but your mind is gone now to where it needs to go to because you can't keep up with all this. Jesus says, the heathen think they will be heard for their much speaking. The longer the prayers, the louder the prayers, the more they get through. It's not that, everybody. That doesn't show that you love the Lord. Not the tears, not the long prayers, not by self-sacrifice. I just give up everything. Well, Paul even writes it, even if I give my body to be burned and I don't have love, I'm just a crispy critter. I'll paraphrase. So it's not by tears, it's not by long prayers, it's not by self-sacrificing or just doing without things. It's by obedience. Notice, love and obedience go together. If you love me, do what I say. That's what I want. God is not looking for sacrifice. King David writes, you're not looking for, if all you wanted was sacrifice, I'd be sacrificing animals every 32 seconds. Get them over here, let's go. We'll run hundreds of them a day. If that's right, but it's a broken heart, a contrite heart, a heart that surrenders and says, I'm yours. Tell me what to do. I don't know how to do this. Show me where to walk. How do I get around? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. Lord, here I am. And what does he say? Okay, follow me. That's so easy. Okay, do it. The commandments of the Lord, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The commandments of the Lord are basically the instructions that he's given us through the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament you'll find. And also, The commandments that he's given us are really through the examples that he set for us. Let me read the scriptures. We went through it in John chapter 13, but let me read a couple of verses out of John chapter 13. It helps to understand because he hasn't given us a list of rules, the big 10, you know, and here's the 12 that we're adding on to it. Now, how many do we have here? No, listen, John 13, verses 15 and 16. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So what did Jesus just say? If you love me, keep my commandments. What are your commandments? The instructions he's given us. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't fret about anything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Count on God and watch how Jesus does things. There's the example of how we walk and do these things. It's really more simple than we want it to be. We would rather he give us a specific list of do's and don'ts. So at the end of the day, we could confess we didn't do the do's and we did all the don'ts every day, right? But what does he say? Trust me. Love me. If you love me, just follow me. Keep my commandments. Walk with me. So verse 16, and I, and people say, what's he going to do for me? He saved you. But wait, there's more. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. Interesting word there. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another one, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. See, now he's talking about the Holy Spirit. What do you want us to do, Lord? Well, if you love me, obey. Trust me, follow me, walk. Well, what do you want me to really do? The instructions that I've given you. Read through the Gospels. Just read through the instruction of the examples that I've set for you. How he treated everyone. How he treated everyone. The poor, the rich, everybody in between. The ones that were healthy, the ones that were very sick. How did he treat the ones that tried to trick him into answers? He still answered. He still dealt with them without spitting in their eye and calling them names. You know, for the most part, he did have to get a little tough with some of them. Jesus says, and I will pray the Father. It's an interesting word that he uses here. Interesting form of this word. Eroteo. It means to make a request. But it's rare that he uses this word. But this is the form he uses is to make a request from one's equal. Did you hear that? We pray to God. We're not making a request to someone that is our equal. True? But the form of the word Jesus uses is I will pray the Father. Didn't he already tell us I and the Father are one? Haven't we learned already, although everybody hates to hear it out there, that he is one person, three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is claiming to be equal with God, making a request of one's equal. When I ask God, I don't say, yo, buddy, could you loan me that 50 that I gave you last week? We're not co-equal with God. We bow before him and we humble ourselves. But Jesus says, I will pray the Father. And the Father, well, what does your Bible say? And the Father will think about it and maybe give you. Is that what he says? No, he will, he shall. It's guaranteed. I will pray the Father. I will request of the Father. And he will do it. What will he do? He will give you another comforter, another one. Well, who's our comforter now, Lord? True. Lord, Jesus has been taking care of them, hasn't he? If they get a little scared, he calms them right down. If they say, we're getting kind of hungry, he said, okay, we're going to eat at so-and-so's house tonight. Okay, let's go, Lord, right? But he's leaving. What do you mean he's leaving? He's going back to the Father's house where he came from. The world rejected him. They don't want him. He's going back to the Father's house. Well, what about us? I'm going to pray the Father, and he will give to you another comforter. That word another in the Greek means literally another of the very same kind. Did you hear that? Another, I'll pray the Father, and he will give to you another of the very same kind. You see, the Spirit of God is not different from the Son of God. They are both God. I'll say it again, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Something that is hard for us to grasp, but something that is still just as true, no matter what you feel about it. The comforter that God will send, that Jesus promises, is the Holy Spirit. And he says the comforter will abide with you. What is the word there? Forever. Now, would God save you, fill you with his Spirit, and then take it back when you get ugly? Not if he keeps his promise. And God never breaks the promise. How long will you have God's Holy Spirit? How long will I have? How long will we have God's Holy Spirit? For eternity. You say, well, right now I'm a big mess. I don't even think the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. If you belong to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. Never mind not speaking to you. Of course he is. He is comforting you. He is guiding you. He is helping to protect you. That's what he says. The third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, is in you. In the Greek, another comforter is paraclete, or a form of the word parakletos. Called along, one that is called alongside to assist. The Holy Spirit is coming alongside to do the very thing Jesus was doing with his disciples. Tell them where they're going to go today, making sure they eat, making sure that they realize, okay, you're out of line here. Come on now. Or when they start to argue who's the greatest, Jesus would say, come on, guys. And he'd take the child, put him in front of him. Unless you become like a little child, right? If we want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of everybody else. Become like this. Remember, you did all that? Now, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart right now, isn't he? And you'll say something, it's almost like you talking to you. Now, you shouldn't have said that. Did that really come out of your mouth? You eat with that mouth, Bob. And you go, Lord, got me. Right? Parakletos, come alongside and assist. The language means, Paracletus means an advocate, a defender, like a lawyer, a helper, one to come to one's side to advise, to direct, to comfort, to encourage. That's everything Jesus did for his boys and girls. And he's still doing it now through the Holy Spirit, isn't he? Because the Lord Jesus is our advocate, our helper, and the Holy Spirit is one just like him, another. Now the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will abide in you. Now that is big news. We're sort of used to it, but that's big news to the disciples. Because all they had was the Old Testament. New Testament, they wrote, they began to write, and then Paul, etc., and Peter and John and James, etc., Jude. All they had was the Old Testament. So all they knew of the Holy Spirit was the Old Testament way the Spirit worked in people's lives. But the Holy Spirit abides in the believer. He is a gift from God in answer to prayer from his Son. A promise that Jesus made to us. I will pray the Father and he will send you the Holy Spirit. Another comforter, a comforter just like me. During his earthly ministry, Jesus guided, he protected, he taught his disciples. He smiled with them, joked with them, encouraged them when they were afraid or confused. But he's leaving them and he's going back to the Father. The Spirit of God, Jesus promises, would come to them. Why? He says, because I go to the Father and I will pray the Father and he will send you the Spirit. Get it? You have to have that. You have to understand it. You have to understand that Jesus is promising to go to the Father, not just somewhere out there where he can't be seen, but to go directly to the Father and sit at the right hand of God. Now, we can't see him, but he told us what proof to look for just now, didn't he? What's the proof that I know Jesus actually rose from the dead? We know that, eyewitnesses, but he ascended to the Father. How could I know that? They watched him till they couldn't see him anymore. How do I know that he went to the Father? Because he said, I'll go to the Father, pray the Father, he will send you the Spirit. Did the Spirit come on the day of Pentecost? Didn't that prove to every true believer where Jesus was sitting right then, even though they couldn't see him? Because he promised it. Now I don't need to see him. We've got the proof anyway. And that's what he's promising. These are big deals for you to know and to hold on to. He's going to the Father. The Spirit would come and would dwell in them, taking the place of their master, Jesus Christ. He's still their Lord, but the Holy Spirit, God himself, in us. In the Old Testament, which was all the disciples had, the Spirit would come upon an individual, man or woman. Remember Deborah? Remember Esther? Remember Ruth, etc.? Well, the Spirit would come upon that individual, man or woman, and then leave when the assignment was done. That's how it worked. Or when they rejected or turned their back on God, like King Saul. And God left him because Saul wanted that. The Spirit did not indwell that individual. And so David, after his sin, when he's confessing his sin, he says, I confess my sin to you. You know, cast me not away from your presence. Please don't throw me away. And please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. See, the Spirit didn't indwell the followers of God back then. The Spirit came upon them and worked and would go back. And the Spirit would come upon them. Samson, great example. Super strength, done. Okay. Spirit would have to come upon him again. Gideon, just look through the scriptures and you see. The Spirit did not indwell those individuals. But Jesus promises something new, that the Holy Spirit would be in you, not just upon you, but take up residence in you permanently. That's why we're warned how we live and the things we do and don't do, because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Inside our tabernacle, inside our little tents, the Holy Ghost is present there 24/7. He takes up residence in you and in me, in every true believer. And how? When will he leave? He will never leave. He will be with you, with me, with every true believer through all eternity long. Now, here's something to write down or to remember in your heart. The Holy Spirit cannot lie. He will not lie. He cannot lie. He is God. The Holy Spirit cannot be associated with lies. The Holy Spirit will never lead you, has never led you to do anything contrary to the Word of God. Therefore, it makes sense what Jesus says next. The world cannot receive the Holy Ghost. Why? They cannot receive Him and they don't know Him. They don't see Him. Because the world lives by sight, not by faith. Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? No. Yet He's in your heart, guiding you, encouraging you, bringing up some joy. When you start to get so low, you're not sure what else to do, the Holy Spirit comes along. You'll open the Bible and you'll just notice that your spirit is just lighter. That's God working in you. But the world doesn't have that and can't have it because they walk by faith, by sight, not by faith. Also, the world does not know Jesus Christ. They reject Him. And you can't have knowledge of the Spirit apart from the Son, right? You can't have knowledge of the Spirit apart from the Son or apart from the Father. Verse 18, He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also. I will not leave you comfortless. Do you know that? Listen to this Greek word. The Greek word translated here comfortless is orphanos. Does it sound like a word you know? Yeah, we get our word orphan from orphanos. I will not leave you orphans, is literally what it says. Okay, verses 20 and 21, and we're done. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments, he or she, and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. At that day, what day? I believe it was future for the disciples. It's history for us. What do I mean? I think he's talking about the day of Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit was given. That's when the church knew where he was. They believed. But there was the proof. Where are you going, Father? What are you going to do there? Make intercession for you, and I will pray the Father, and he will send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit was first given. Then as every Christian, every person who received Jesus from then on is filled with God's Holy Spirit instantly. 120 people in the upper room praying. And every believer, how many? Every believer was filled, each one, with God's Holy Spirit. So that day, each and every believer really knew it. Even though they believed it, they really knew it now. It just encouraged their faith that he ascended back to the Father, that now we know right where Jesus is. He said he would be there, and he is, because the Holy Spirit came. Here's the proof. Here's the beginning of the payment right here. God's Holy Spirit. So what are we reading in all this? Christian love is demonstrated as a believer obeys the Lord's word, his commandments, his word. And this is not when he says this, when he says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and the one that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is not, as some people say, see, this is a whole works mentality. You got to do enough good stuff and then God will love. That's not the language here at all. It's not a works trip or a works mentality. It's not that. Jesus is simply saying, the one who believes and trusts in me and walks with me, obeys my word, is loved by God. Saving faith results in following Jesus Christ, results in obedience to God. Notice how it all ties together.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.